On the second week of Christmas, Nathan Harvey asked of me, when will we hear some more MI3? That's right, my brother-in-law is also all up in my grill about having more Minute Impossible. So, I thought I'd oblige him with the second week of Christmas. So, Merry Christmas, Nathan, and I don't have to get you any other presents. Enjoy Minute 20 with the Midnight Boys.
Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise 1 minute at a time. It's Wednesday, and I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Rob.
I'm Tuff.
And I'm Joe.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. We're on Hump Day, and we've made it through our first minutes, and this is not bad. Joe's here for his first time, so this is going well.
Having a blast.
I believe him.
Great. I'm glad you're having a blast.
All right. Baja Blast.
Oh my god, it sounds so good right now. Let's all we all should be drinking Baja.
Why Blast. Was there never a Mountain Dew Baja Man Blast crossover with Who Let the Dogs Out? Like who let the dudes out?
I love how you said Baja Man, like only one of them were allowed to be in it.
Yeah, they're all dead.
The other were Baja Boys, and yeah. He was the Baja Man.
He was a man among boys.
He was. I'm surprised there was never a Mission Impossible
Fallout. Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew. It's like do the do.
All Especially he does with the extremeness of him.
All he does is do the do.
Okay, which would be a better flavor? Mountain Dew Ghost Protocol? Mountain Dew Rogue Nation?
Ooh. Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, what is Rogue Nation? What do we say?
I don't know.
It would be like a red flavor.
Okay. Red.
It's like an energy drink like marketed towards militia members or something like that.
Ghost Protocol would be ghost peppers, so it'd just be really spicy.
I think the Ghost Protocol would be
it's that white one.
Yeah.
It has the most badass name. Like, yeah. What are you drinking? Ghost Protocol.
Fallout is the most descriptive of Mountain Dew.
It would be like. You'd have to make that like the Ecto Cooler color.
Yeah,
you guys remember that. Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. All those are really good names for drinks, because if you go look up energy drinks, I bet you there is a Fallout energy drink.
Oh, yeah, probably. And that's why I'm so excited for Mission Impossible Red Alert, or Red, Code Red.
Red Alert. Yeah, you messed up the joke. You're going for Code Red. Oh, God, that is the worst flavor ever.
Oh, man. I liked it.
Aren't they... I don't drink Mountain Dew a lot, but aren't they all pretty much the same with a little variation?
Although the Baja Blast is worth your time when you're at a Taco Bell. I will say that.
Well, yeah, they're paired to food. Like it's like my wife. Yeah. My wife will drink orange soda with Mexican food because orange soda and Mexican food is amazing.
Now, is it orange soda or is it Fanta?
Fanta or Jarrito, you know, it's one of those. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to make sure, because, like, if it's Fanta, that's good. But I just wanted to make sure it wasn't, like, Minute Maid, because that's stuff.
Oh, no, that's, terrible. No.
You said orange soda. It's
You're right. I am from Tennessee, so I could easily make it Minute Maid. My childhood was Diet Minute Maid orange soda.
Oh, Diet?
My mom would buy it. I'd be like, this tastes terrible, Mom.
But you kept
She's like,
it.
It's healthy.
I'm like, it's not healthy. It's not good.
My mom, and I'm guessing like you're in the same boat, Jonathan. My mom in the 80s bought into all that crap. Like, we had diet or light syrup, and we had like, I can't believe it's not butter. And
light
all that
syrup, crap. Butter, bread that was inedible, but it was good for you. You know, it was back when they made brown bread that was so bad, like you'd eat it and be like,
oh, yeah.
You'd be like,
it was like, it was like Wonder Bread, but it's like, oh, it's brown, so it's healthy.
Yeah, they're like, this has wheat in it. I'm like, all bread has wheat in it. Like, why is this worse?
Yeah, knowing rich wheat.
I remember one time my mom bought low-fat cheese, and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever eaten. Awful.
Oh, we went through every phase of that. Granola bars, low-fat granola. Granola bars is just, they've pressed like oats into a square, and then you eat them, and you're like, but the fat is kind of what the treat part is, like the honey and whatever binds it together. It was bad. Well, I'm still as big as I am, so mom.
Growing up in the 80s, like big, like pharmacies and food distributors convinced all the moms that it's like, oh, fat's bad, but all this junk filled with chemicals that has no calories, that's fine. That's
and going back to Monday, now we've convinced all the moms, like, just drink some wine.
Just, you know what? Just get some Boone's Farm and you do you.
And life is more rosé with a glass of wine or whatever those stupid things you see. Like the people that live that boat life and that farm life, they go to those places and buy their.
I don't think boat life and farm life are the same thing.
Yeah. They are the same pieces of wood. They've just made one blue and one is brown.
Farm life is incredibly hard and boat life is just sitting and drinking.
Yeah.
Right. No, but no, I'm sorry. You guys are actually farmers, but I'm saying farm life.
You mean like
this CSA? The things that say like family, love, and compassion, like this house is raised on, you know, like they're like.
Live, farm, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, yeah. Love.
Yeah, like those things are like farm life. Like they're trying to be like old school values.
Okay.
Boat life. Then there's like boat life, which is like we own a place in Wisconsin on a lake. And instead of having those homey things, you have things like things that have rope on them. And it's the same, buying from the same store. Saying.
Okay, you've got signs with sayings in your house.
Yeah, and they always have something to do with wine. They're always like, you know, life is always more rosé. You know, like they're all puns. They're all plays on words.
Jonathan, have you ever seen the in this house we? And then there's like a bunch of Disney phrases. And
it's
like,
Disney. It's Star Trek. It's every superhero movie. I hate those. In this house, we talk Hogwarts and we're all in Gryffindor and blah blah blah. Okay.
Yeah, I think Disney was the first one.
Yeah.
In this house, we whistle while we work and blah blah blah, like 30 different phrases. And so
we whistle while we work in our Epcot city of the future. As
in this house, people of color are stereotypes.
Yeah, no signs with letter with any type of phrase on them are usually a bad sign.
In this house, Song of the South is part of our history.
Oh my,
heritage.
Chris, you didn't think you were coming into this? That you're from Texas, you know how this is.
Yeah, I'm also not white, so you know.
I know. Out of it. Wait, what?
I'll let you guys get into that mess, not me.
You can. Oh, you're not allowed to say it. That's right. I can say it because I'm safe. No one's going to come after me.
Well, what about having a sign that says, bless this mess? Is that...
Ooh, that's an interesting subculture of of yacht life. That is like, that's like, I'm trying to think of
it's
what...
church it, life.
It's yeah, it's like church life or like, oh, we're messy, but that's because we're a family and we love each other and families are messy. No, you're a messy because you're a slob.
All right, here's a question. How many pictures of your wedding are you allowed to have hung up in your house?
In the hallway, one.
Okay. Okay. You're not allowed to have a wall?
You can if you have no children. But as you grow and add dogs and children to the mix, you have to put up pictures of those things.
Okay. That's a reasoned answer.
What about precious moments figurines?
As many as you can get. As many as you can get.
Duff, do you want to tell them about the subreddit?
No, I think you should, because that's that is you found it. And,
what?
And let me preface this a little. Rob is I'm not easily shocked by things, but Rob throughout the years just has a way of like. Rob is the guy who told me about Two Girls, One Cup. Rob is the guy who clued me into what the cover of Metallica's Load album is.
Rob is the first person that'll make me a connoisseur of fine wines.
Yep.
Yeah.
And wine bottles.
So, Rob, I, I guess I'll say it, but stop me if I'm getting it wrong. Rob's like, yes, one time I found this Reddit subculture about dudes who like jerk off to porcelain figurines.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called Coming on Figurines.
Oh, God.
It's they're called cummels.
One humper too.
I don't understand, because like think of all the thought processes you have to go through to get to the point where you're like, yeah, I'm gonna do this onto that, take a picture of it, and upload it on the internet.
And how do you find out for the first time that you like it?
That's a good question. Maybe you stumble upon the Reddit, and unlike me, you're like,
yeah, which came first, the fetish or the Reddit?
Yeah.
Did someone accidentally do it one time? It's like, holy shit, look at this picture. And then somebody's like, I totally am into this.
Look like, what happened to this figurine. Harley Quinn.
God, I just ruined this figurine. Is that glue? Is that Elmer's glue? It is not.
Was it some guy who was like just at his grandma's house and he was bored and there were a bunch of figurines around?
One looks like a mouth.
Like you knock one over with your dong when you're like 12 and it triggers some kind of fetish or something.
Maybe, it makes us a noise when the tinking sound of it hitting it. You're like, oh yeah. The coldness of the porcelain. I'm being way too specific about this, aren't I? Never mind.
The other disgusting thing Rob told me about for the first time was Mr. Hands. That's the one I couldn't remember.
Oh, God. I'll never unhear that.
Yeah. Chris, remember when the show was about Men in Impossible?
Yeah, I checked out about half an hour ago. So
I remember in season one when you guys were all like worried about me being too inappropriate. Now look at you.
We're just garbage people. All right,
just
so
terrible.
The actual episode.
Minute 20.
There's fighting, mm-hmm. and the fighting actually has a purdy shot, and that purdy shot is a gun being thrown, a one shot. Chris, you want to talk about it?
Yeah, it's like I said, it's like the old west thing. They also do it in Solo. It's that one shot, slow motion, moving it to the shooting it over to the other guy.
Yeah,
and here we get shooting it over to Kerry Russell.
Where Tom Cruise pulls out a gun out of his side holster and flings it kind of sideways in a sideways manner, and it's caught.
Just like you shoot it right over onto that figurine.
Yep.
Yeah, this movie has got a lot of weird physics when it comes to guns and grenades and stuff.
At least the grenade, you've told me, is magnetic at some point.
Yeah, so it's a magnetic thing, but it still looks weird as crap.
This is cool. This is really cool.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty cool.
I also like that she wasn't a victim. I enjoyed that they switched it really fast, that she's like, oh, Kerry Russell can own. And that's when Joe gets at his figurines when this scene happens.
I wish
Felicity figurines.
I think I would have preferred this movie if it opened with her being captured and showing what a badass she was and how hard it was to get her down. Yeah.
You could have taken out 15 minutes of domestic Ethan, and I'd have been happy. Oh, yeah, a little more Kerry Russell.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the thing. As I kind of hinted at last episode, like the Kerry Russell character and the chemistry is way, way more interesting than the...
His
wife.
Yeah, you could take out that whole party. And
you could have taken out the whole wife thing and made it about Kerry Russell's character and him having to pass with her, and then it became more interesting to me if it was about him, you know, taking it personally and then being really upset because this person that he did care about has been
and he trained
hurt. Or if his wife got to do some spy stuff at the end of the movie. We get a little bit where it's like, you know, squeeze the trigger, just point at what you want to shoot, squeeze the trigger, unload the entire clip.
I don't like when movies do that. I mean, like, if it's the everyman in a situation, do it. But the whole point is, like, Ethan and Luther and all these guys are like highly trained special agents, so I don't really like where it's like, oh, look at, she can do it too. It's really easy.
Actually, yeah, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
It's simple to shoot a gun forward. I just can't do it in Warzone.
No.
I can't shoot straight. I literally cannot shoot straight.
That's why you have all these untouched figurines in your house.
I know. I'm going to ruin these things later. They're looking at me right now. I'm going to get you guys.
And doesn't, like, if you watch The Americans, like, prove that Kerry Russell's actually really good at doing, like, spy stuff and shooting guns? Like, it would have been awesome if they would have had more of her doing that in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's to me, she was the most interesting character in the whole thing. And
she could have gone longer and died from a braid bomb later in the movie. So mm-hmm. you still get those stakes.
Like had they not, has she not known about it? Had they not known about it? And in the middle of an action scene, they just killed her off. It's like,
yeah,
that would have been shocking. It would have shocked everybody in the audience. Shocked Ethan for sure.
If they did the eyeball scene then, yeah, where they're like exactly. out on the thing and she just kind of glitches
like,
out.
They're like out on another yeah, exactly. Just can out we, of the blue in the middle of that thing.
Can we do the Fast and Furious Han thing and just bring her back?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Don't mention
or,
it.
Or just all of a sudden say that, oh, yeah, Mission Impossible 7, that actually takes place between 3 and 4. So
yeah.
Well, you say it like they say that. They never say that.
Right.
It's just like, the hell, he's alive? Okay, well, okay.
They just let you work that out on your own.
Yeah.
It's like when that that daughter just disappeared in Family Matters. And they never mentioned it.
It's when they just or Chuck on Happy Days. Remember the older brother?
I'm not 55. I don't remember.
That happened. In reruns.
Oh, they switched Darren's midway through.
I was about to say when Bewitched. They switched Darren's on Bewitched.
See? Duff knows what I'm talking about, you jackass.
But yeah, I mean
well, I watched Nick at Night like all the cool kids did.
Yeah.
I was over at my grandmother's house staring at her Hummels, watching Nick at Night with no pants on.
Oh, God. Yeah, what's the overlap between being a Cummel guy and watching Nick at Night a lot? Probably pretty good overlap.
Oh, the Venn diagram's a circle. I'm sorry, Chris, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say the biggest problem I have with this sequence as a whole is that... is JJ's trying to make Tom Cruise look really cool, but it comes off kind of stilted, but Kerry Russell comes off very cool for as an agent. Like, you believe her. And mm-hmm. there's a huge difference between this and, like, you know, say Rogue Nation, where McQuarrie makes him, and even parts of Ghost Protocol, where McQuarrie makes him very cool without trying.
Is that the difference between a TV director with a TV star versus a film director with a film star?
Probably, or somebody he's more comfortable with.
I think it's the also, yeah. I think that anybody would be able to get Kerry Russell to look cool. I think that's where your actor kicks it out. What is it called?
Outguns.
Out kicks your coverage. I think that our director can only go so far, and she's just kind of bringing it.
So here's something I'm sure you've already talked about a lot, but fuck it, because it's my first time on this season. Like, why is J.J. Abrams famous? Like, does he have a rich dad or something? Because
his dad was a producer.
Yeah,
okay. I'm from a very important family from Kennebunkport, Maine.
Because he just kind of fails upward. Like,
yeah,
I can kill a woman in a car on a bridge.
Well, he makes people money. He makes people a lot of money. So I don't know that he fails upward.
Yeah, but for a while, like he wrote Regarding Henry. Like he had kind of. And that Gone Fishing movie.
Gone Fishing. Killed someone.
But
Armageddon.
It just seems like he spent like a decade, like, you know, obviously by Hollywood standards, reasonably successful. Well,
he's one of those guys that also wants to be like an actor.
He's well-liked by his actors. His actors like him because he's witty and he does banter and he not that he's into improv. It's just like the people I've seen him, like he works with Schwartz and Middleditch and those kind of people, like they like him because of his just like he's quick.
And does that translate into directing?
He's
putting himself into his films all the time. Like he's in both the Star Wars movies and the Star Trek movies.
Yeah, but I'm convinced he's never seen an episode of Star Trek or watched a Star Wars movie. Like it's so weird because he got put in charge of both of those franchises and just seems like, I don't know. It seemed like it'd be fun.
But the Star Trek one, I give him credit for.
Yeah. I thought Star Trek is actually pretty good.
And the first Star Wars, I give him credit for, not the
third
one.
I thought the first Star Trek was fun. I thought the second one was hot trash. I hated Into Darkness.
You can't stand it.
He's a really good self-promoter too. Like he, for some reason, like
he's sort his of, own hype man.
Yeah, he fashions himself as like this storytelling genius. Like he did like that dumb TED talk about like the mystery box thing, like his storytelling theory. Which
he for sure will have a masterclass in director in like two or three years.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't blame anyone for taking the cash.
Remember, it's online now. He's going to do that next week, probably. Yeah. As none of us are going anywhere. It's like, hey, masterclass. Oh, if there's a masterclass for J.J. Abrams, I will find out how much it is.
Okay, you'll find out how much it is. Cool.
And then I will go in and take it.
Yeah. It's,
I can find out how much things are too. Just ask me. I'll look it up.
And the other thing is he got, it seemed like his big jumping off point was Lost. And didn't he leave Lost like halfway through the first season? Like he got Lost off the ground and he's like, all right, here you go, Carlton Cruise.
And then he started doing this film. That's what he was doing.
Yeah. He left Lost. Who's the other guy? The
Damon Lindelof.
Damon Lindelof.
Who's been made fun of a lot, but I think is way more talented.
Absolutely.
Look at Watchmen, you know?
Watchmen and Leftovers.
Leftovers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He did Watchmen. He didn't put one blue penis in it. Actually, that's not true. There is one at the end, remember? Penis,
yeah.
He did not have one ejaculation rocket launcher joke or whatever that was in the Watchmen movie.
I don't know what you're talking about. Are you referencing
with the flamethrower?
Yeah.
I thought it was a Billy Crudup scene. I might have blacked out.
It's when Patrick Wilson and whoever plays the Silk Spectre have sex and first of all, it's to Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, which is bizarre and dumb. And then, they show a shot of the rocket thruster.
Well, we're not even getting into Zack Snyder yet. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Wait until he directs the next, the next one after this one.
Anyway, J.J. Abrams, him being kind of a fail son who turned out not to be a failure makes sense.
Well, he's one of those people that got in the industry because of his connections and his family.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
So he's never really had, I mean, not that I know or not, but it seems like he's not had to work as hard as some of the other people
that are
making these films. You know, like there's a big difference between somebody like Lucas versus him. Or him versus McQuarrie, you know?
Yeah, like when George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, when they make bad movies, you can go, yeah, but they made a lot of good movies too, and that was
even their bad movies are like good compared to some of like J.J. Abrams' good movies, you know?
Yeah,
Bring it back to the clip, working their ass off. Maggie Q is working her ass off to get out of this thing, and
defenestration.
Well, it's not defenestration if you throw a chair out. Well, I guess.
But then she throws herself out. You can jump out of a window. You can defenestrate yourself.
That's auto-erotic defenestration.
Auto defenestration.
Like, you know how they have, I don't know if they have them around where you guys live, but it's a thing like where you go and you can pay and you just break stuff. There's one a couple miles from my house. Like, I don't really have much of an impulse for that, but one thing I've always really wanted to do, if I could ever be in a movie, I really want to throw a chair through a window.
This is a good,
just seems deeply satisfying to me.
This is a good question. This kind of office, what would you want to be like if you're an extra and you're going, but you get to, in this, somehow you're in this weird movie where you're getting to choose the scene you want to do. What do you want to be doing in the background? You're saying Joe would throw a chair through a window.
So you do anything. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it can't be main. Like, you're not the main character. Yeah. So it's just background crap. That's happening.
I want to be a guy who's thrown out a window and lands on a car and then just walks it off. Like, oh, ow.
I want to destroy a room. Like, when people just, like, destroy a room out of a fit of rage in movies.
That's not bad.
I want to do that.
A podcast I listen to, all they want is to be sucked out of an airlock. In a spaceship. Wow. That's all they want. It's just like in the back of school. Cool. Just be like, no! And then it's just like nothing. And it's just like no sound.
Rob wants to be Jake LaMotta. Just
all honesty, I don't understand why, like, you guys should be asked to be in the background of the next Mission Impossible. Why not? It's minimal investment on their part and like tons of, like, not tons. You guys have one listener. But like, you know, that person would know.
Chris can bring his own blood. It'll be perfect.
I will.
Don't even need any squibs. I'm all ready. Yeah, let me pull the plugs out of my body.
Just tell me when.
You guys should be the dudes who are like monitoring the security cameras with the computers, and you're confused when they stop working properly.
We're the guys who switch the cameras.
They gotta speak in some foreign language.
Like later in the movie when they're going and breaking into the Vatican City, like that kind of deal would be.
I would be the guard that looks away for that split second when it switches, and then looks back and it's perfectly normal.
You kind of squint a little bit, but you're like, it's fine.
Chris, what about you? What would you be your thing other than bloody squib?
I've done a lot of movie stuff, so I've done a lot. You know, like I've thrown the chair at a door and stuff like that. So, you know, nothing is really. I've shotguns and stuff in films, so I'm You know, most of it's pretty. Oh,
I would like to. I would like to load a gun in a cool way. I'd like someone to teach me off camera a cool way to load a gun, and then
I would be on camera. That could be your scene. Someone's teaching you a cool way to load a gun.
So where is the safety again? Oh, it's right here. Don't, sir, stop pointing the gun at your face. I'm sorry. I'm looking inside of it to see if it's.
I think the greatest non-speaking role in the history of film is that guy who gets used as like a human shield in Total Recall on the escalator, and he gets shot like what 300 times. That would be, if I could be in any non-speaking thing.
Like in The Untouchables, those people who are trying to protect the baby going down the stairs, and they keep getting shot. The soldiers or the sailors keep getting shot in the back and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you feel bad for those guys. You're like, oh man, they're just getting home and they're going to get shot.
Yeah, that guy in Total Recall is like, it's the last day of work, finally going home.
Happy hour.
Finally going home. My daughter's birthday's tomorrow.
Exactly.
I hope the train's not running late.
I just want to get on that super fast.
He caught the late train instead of the earlier train. Had he caught that earlier train?
Yeah, he missed the express.
Yeah. He's like, man, things are finally working out for me at work. I'm so happy. So great.
Yeah, see, to me, it was like, you know, I got to do a lot of movie stuff in L.A. and here in Texas, and I've gotten to ride in the back of a motorcycle with the camera, and Jonathan knows I've ridden in cars, hanging out of the car with the camera.
Hey, Chris, I've ridden in cars, too.
Hanging out of the car with the camera on the street, you know, that stuff like that. Stupid, crazy stuff that I did when I was younger. So, you know, most of it's already done as far as I'm concerned. But
see, I was not a guerrilla. I was not a guerrilla filmmaker like you. I was always like, I was always like, I don't want to get dirty.
Did you guys ever ride in cars with boys?
Yes. Yeah, a couple times.
Still did you ever ride a bus with your sister?
I did. He's very annoying and does not. And let's put it this way: it does not age well. All right, we have talked about this minute about as much as we're going to.
Yeah.
Once again, we're gonna give. We're not gonna let Joe go first again because that would be mean. We'll have Duff go his tech of the episode.
My tech of the episode is all the dolly tracking, or maybe it's Steadicam. I don't know, but that's.
And we didn't talk about this minute because it's really a great minute, and there's really not much to riff on. It's a good scene, well done. It's a coordinated. I don't know what this move is called. This is when we would need Doug on, you know, to explain to us how you clear a room. This is basically they're spinning around clearing a room.
That shot is very like that's what I always like that hero shot. That they do with movies where it's like, oh, these are heroes. It's like, yeah. I mean, it makes me wonder if it like it makes me think I would look cool in that shot, but I wouldn't. That's the thing, because I'm not.
Well, they have chins, Rob. So yeah.
Yeah.
When you see Tom Cruise from Profile, you're like, that's a human being, not a duck or a bird of some sort.
A big bird
of some kind with a bad.
Which beard. Is what you said when you met me. You're like, you're a big bird.
The first thing I said was, you're a big bird.
This big bird over here.
Big ass bird.
Feathers.
You should be on the space shuttle. You're such a big bird. It's for all the Titanic listeners out there. All right, Chris, what about you?
I'm going to go with that gun flip, man. That's the best part.
It is. Do you think they had to shoot that 9,000 times?
I don't know if they shot it 9,000 times or if it's just an effect. Like,
can
I know.
You imagine
like,
catching a gun?
I hope it's not an effect.
When they did it in Solo, he had the gun in his hand already. Oh. And then they had Donald Glover pretend to throw the gun. And it was digitally added in there. And then they erased it and put it back in his hand.
Well, so, I hate that if this was done then. But this is a long time ago.
It kind of looks like it because it moves
really
slowly,
it really does move
awkwardly. And then there's no way she caught it. You know, I'm saying it was probably already in her hand and they digitally added it.
Damn it.
It's not like when Peckinpah or John Woo do it, you know, when they have to catch it. Yeah. And they do like 15, 20 takes until they get it right. Or in Desperado, you know.
The time the gun falls on the ground, shoots someone in the foot.
Exactly.
The old Brandon Lee.
I think my favorite, the old Brandon Lee. Wow. I think that's about as old as me talking about Happy Days. Brandon Lee dying in The Crow. Jesus, his grandchildren are dead.
He didn't have any children.
I know.
Died too young.
Yeah, there's a speed up slowdown on there that proves it's digital.
Well, if it helps, there's some Hummels with his essence on it that could probably be used to create some sort of child.
There's Crow figuring just being covered.
Could you get Crow Hummels? Do they make Precious Moments for movies, like real movies? Not
no,
like Casablanca.
Funko Pops.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, the wait.
The Warner Brothers site, they've got some that look like that, like with the big eyes and stuff. Like
hold on. Hold on, Rob. Are you saying there is probably a Funko Reddit with the same
thing going on?
Oh, I kind of want to know about this.
Are Funkos just precious memories for nerds?
Yes. Absolutely.
If there was a Funko erotic one like that, it would, half the comments would be people mad that they took them out of the box.
Yeah. They're called Funkos. That's gross. Humble, yeah, that's fine.
That's too much.
Funko, that's too far. You can't do that on Harlequin. Love of God. Leave her alone. She's been through enough. She's already white anyway. Let's go to Rob. Rob.
I don't have anything original. It's the you guys both said the two coolest things. It's the dolly and the gun flip.
I'm going with the tragic laptop box that Maggie Q is carrying around the carcass of. That one's my favorite tech of the episode. Like, there's something in there. There's tech in there. They find stuff later. So yay.
Yeah, that works.
This is basically like your worst nightmare. This is the kind of thing I bet at Best Buy, things like this have come in and been like, what can we do about this? What can we
do? I took it out of the box like this.
Yeah, it came like this.
I have a xenomorph as a pet and its blood got on it. And
yeah. Somehow during shipping, I got it like this. Yeah. I don't know what happened on your truck.
Joe, what about you?
Well, I screwed up last episode and said that gun flip thing, but I was thinking a different one for this minute, which we're actually talking about now. The flickering lights that have been flickering for about 20 minutes now for some reason.
Yeah, the gas is coming, those yellow lights.
Yeah, like wouldn't the circuit breakers have tripped by now from Luther shooting them all? But
we made fun of those stupid windmills. But flickering lights will cause you to be very dizzy.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Never before, like a movie that had a lot of like fast, like a lot of windmills. So like, oh, please be careful. There are some windmills in this that may cause headaches, dizziness, or seizure.
Is this a Dutch film? No, thanks. I'm not watching it.
You know I can't do windmills.
I will throw up, honey. I can't go see this movie. I don't care if this is a Sony classic.
Someone, they have a barbecue and someone brings some old Dutch potato chips. Like, ooh. Oh, no.
Isn't one of the Dogma 95 rules that you have to have windmills?
Yep, that's one of them. Yep.
After the movie, you have to stay in your car for 2 hours so you don't crash on the way home. You got to wait till your vision like reorients itself.
Officer, I don't know what happened. I watched Don Quixote and I thought I was going to die on the way home.
I'm freaking out. My brain is all scrambled from windmills.
Too many windmills. So stupid. That may be the name of the episode. Too many windmills.
Too many windmills.
All right. Well, that's good, guys. Those were all good. Those were all super good. I think we talked about what needed to be talked about in this episode. And that's really all that really mattered.
Good.
Good. All right. So we'll come back on Friday for one final episode and wrap this sucker up. So until then, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Rob.
I was Duff.
I was and still am Joe.
Joe, you want to say this minute will self-destruct?
This minute will self-destruct in 5 seconds?
Look at that porcelain Hummel. Oh, look at that, guys. Guys, look at that.
Precious moments.
Oh, it's so precious.
Oh, I want to Funko you so hard.
Episode of MI3. Bum 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 bum.